Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. On the line with me is Religion News Service Vatican correspondent Alessandro Speciali, who joins us from Rome, Italy. Alessandro, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Hello, thank you.
You're in Rome. How far are you from the throne of St. Peter? And I'm speaking physically, not spiritually.
My office is like just a few hundred meters, just across from St. Peter's Square.
Wonderful. Well, listen, you wrote about Pope Benedict XVI's newest book, The Infancy Narratives, Jesus of Nazareth. You wrote about it for Religion News Service last week, and clearly this has touched a chord with people. I suppose part of it is due to the Pope writing it. Part of it is Christmas is drawing near. How do you explain the hyperbole that is circling around this publication?
Well, I think it's the Christmas season on one side, and the other thing is that we have come to expect it, especially people in the media, in the secular media, have come to expect it, Pope Benedict to say provocative things and to be a kind of a killjoy, even if in this case he didn't actually do much of that, to be honest.
Talk about that, because not everybody listening to us is going to know about some of his other publications. And when you say that he typically has been a killjoy, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, his remarks on condoms recently and other controversial things he said on Jews, for example, in the past. Mm-hmm. And in the case of this book, the thing that really got a lot of play was basically his book is about the childhood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So he basically goes about on all the episodes that mark our Christmas traditions, mm-hmm, and Christmas carols. And one of the things he does, for example, is that he says very simply, look, fellas, in the Gospels, there is no sign of the animals in the stables that were there to warm up Jesus, even if they are in every nativity scene and in every song we know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he immediately adds up to that. But of course, no nativity scene would be complete without them, because they are part of tradition, and it would be impossible to think any of this without the animals. But this thing got a lot of play, and the Pope has even been compared to the Grinch who wanted to solve Christmas.
Because I am not laughing at you. Because I know how sensitive and controversial the cultural characteristics of the religion narrative is, and I guess I'm just surprised that it reaches all the way to Vatican City. Tell us, Alessandro, what are the key points that the Pope makes in this book regarding the Nativity story as most of us know it?
Well, one of the things he says is that it's just this small side remark. I mean, it's less than a paragraph about the animals. Another thing he points out to, and that got a lot of attention, is that the angels didn't actually sing. He says they probably just talked, but of course, in the tradition of the Church, it is as if they have been singing, and they keep singing this song for all eternity, out of joy for the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
And another thing is you repeat something that has been said for decades now by scholars, that probably the middle age monk who started counting the years from zero to begin with the birth of Christ probably got his math wrong. And in fact, we have that probably Christ was actually born on 3 or 6 or 7 before Christ.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, that these calculations are probably correct. And the point he wants to make in the book is that the Christ, and he wrote 3 books about Jesus, and he wants to make this point in all 3 books, is that the Jesus that we see through the Gospels, that has been told for us through the Gospels, is not just a spiritual figure, is not just a symbol, a metaphor, something that is who look only intellectually, but was actually a living person that walked on earth, and the story that has been told to us through the Gospels is not just a spiritual story, but it's also a real story, so we can know the real Jesus, the man Jesus, so to say, through the books, if we read them through the eyes of faith. And this is what, of course, it's the Pope, he's the Pope, it's his job, it's what he invites everyone to do.
And this is really where I think there's a there is a an important truth here, and I want to be sure that I get it. I understand there was a term which I always like to use to impress people that I knew it, but it wasn't a very good term for talking about theology, but demythologizing theology, which was a way of trying to get to the human Jesus. But in the process of that whole movement in trying to identify the real historical Jesus, they got rid of so much of the spiritual trimmings of it that there wasn't much spirituality left. And so I'm wondering how you see the Pope walking that line between establishing Jesus as a historical person, but also maintaining elements of the story that make him a very spiritual person as well.
Well, I think the Pope's point is fairly subtle. I mean, he's a German theologian, so can be expected. Taking your words, I mean, I think he doesn't want to demythologize the theology and the account that we have of Christ, but mm-hmm. he says this mythology is not mythology, it's the real Jesus, mm-hmm. only to really get him, you don't have to, you know, take away the mythology and just get to the facts. The facts are the ones you can get to through the faith, and the faith is as important as science to really understand who was the man Jesus. I think this is the point he wants to make.
And so does there... And I have to say, I have not been able to get the book in my hands yet and read it. But is there still a star? Are there wise people from the East? Are they men or are they women? What about some of those elements of the story?
Well, on the three wise men, he has an interesting point. He says a famous theologian said they are probably, on account of the scholarly work that we have, they are probably a theological idea rather than based on real facts.
Yeah.
And he says, this theologian has a fair point. Personally, I prefer to think that they were real people who actually came and followed this planetary conjunction that he says was probably the star. But uh-huh. the most important thing is that it's not if there was or was not a star. The thing is that in the heart of this man, there had to be a desire, a longing for something higher, for something bigger, for something more important, or star or no star in the sky, they wouldn't have set on foot and started walking towards Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And he says, this is what we, all men, should do, and especially those who are not Christians. And we can see the three wise men, how all the Christians long towards Jesus. And this is what he says. I mean, he says, I prefer to believe they were real, but even if they were not, what's important is that they started walking.
Are there implications in this book for how Christmas will be celebrated in years to come?
Oh, no. In fact, just today I was in St. Peter's Square, and they have been doing the nativity scene, the big nativity scene they do there every year. And it's still not finished. It hasn't been unveiled yet. But I want to bet with you that there's going to be the ox, and that the angels will sing and everything will be as tradition says, because the Pope, he loves tradition, but he's also a scholar, so he also has to point out what is sometimes what comes from tradition and not from the Gospels. And in fact, he writes these books as a person, as a man like you and me, and he said it in the first of the three books. Criticize me if you want, because this is no doctrine, no church doctrine, and I'm just writing as a theologian as many others.
Okay, and I'm really glad that you went to that point, because I wanted to ask about the significance of him being the Pope and writing this book. And so he makes the point that he's not trying to establish a new point of doctrine about the Nativity, but just deal with what seems to be history and what seems to be with tradition. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now... What does this? So he's not speaking ex cathedra.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So does that mean that when you, as a journalist, write about the Vatican, that you write ex cathedra? Listen, Alessandro, you're in Rome. Tell us what that city is like during Christmas time.
Well, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. They put out all the lights in the streets, and the streets are really crowded with people looking up for presents until in the very afternoon of the 24th. And all the churches are open, and there are concerts and Christmas carols and Christmas concerts in all the churches. So it's a beautiful time to come to Rome, really.
I've been speaking with Alessandro Speciali, Vatican correspondent for Religion News Service. He's writing now on Pope Benedict XVI's latest book, The Infancy Narrative, Jesus of Nazareth. His work has appeared in numerous publications worldwide. And Alessandro, I think you've given us a vivid image of where you are and what's going on there, and you've made some of us wish we could walk those streets with you. But thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
And thanks to you.
Now, before we go, I'd like to remind you once again to contribute questions for our special questions and answers program coming up at the end of the year. Look, what questions do you have at the intersection of religion, government, and politics? What questions were you asked at Thanksgiving dinner by a family member who just doesn't get this whole interfaith thing? What was the biggest argument at your Thanksgiving table this year? What have you heard on State of Belief Radio during this past year that you want to talk about? It's time to do it. I'm more than ready to hear your questions. I think it'll be fun. Take a few minutes to contact me. Our toll-free listener line is 800-856-0277. We'd love to hear from you also on Facebook and Twitter. All the contact information is available at stateofbelief.com. Be sure to let us know what we should be talking about before 2012 is over. Thank you, and I'm looking forward to your responses. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com to find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, read transcripts, sign up for our podcasts. You can learn about the new State of Belief app for iPhone and Android devices, and that way you can listen to us anywhere and anytime. We encourage you to tell others about the show. State of Belief is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy, that State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. See you.